On this occasion, we'll be dealing with the word Eloah. The word Eloah, similar to the word Aol, which we considered last time, has the basic meaning of power or of might. It is in the singular number and masculine gender. And therefore, whereas Aol signifies power, Eloah signifies powerful one or a mighty one. In the light of the manifestation of God, it signifies one who is made strong by divine power, that is, by Aol. In that way, Yahweh himself is an Eloah, he is a mighty one, and so are each of the angels who manifest his power. Perhaps in introducing this subject, we could not do better than direct your attention to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8. In Isaiah 44 and verse 8, God declares, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any." Now in this verse you have the word God used twice, but actually in the Hebrew there are two entirely different words. The first word is the word Eloah, the one we are going to treat with in this consideration of the subject. And the second word is the word Zer, the real meaning of which is rock. If you notice in the margin of your Bible, you will find that the Hebrew word is rock. So that what God is saying is this: is there a mighty one beside me? And then he says, yea, there is no rock. There is no power, for rock is a metaphor for power. There is no power beside me, I know not any. So here he is saying there is no mighty one apart from him, without God. There are many in the world that imagine that they're mighty ones. There were many gods, pagan gods, that the heathen in ages past worshipped as a mighty one. But when we come to consider true might or power, there was no mighty one apart from Yahweh. Very often the people of Israel imagined that there were mighty ones apart from him. They put their trust in pagan gods or in men of the flesh who manifested power or might. But in actual fact, God was the only powerful one, and there was no powerful one beside him. If God be with one, then one was one of power. But apart from God, there is no power. Now David uses the same term in the 18th Psalm, and there he speaks of God in the same light. Psalm 18 and verse 31. Who is God save Yahweh? Who is a rock save our God? Now the first word God here is the word Eloah. Who is a mighty one save Yahweh? There is no mighty one apart from him. The heathen may have imagined that Baal and Ashtaroth and these other gods were mighty ones, but the only mighty one was Yahweh. And so David could say, who is a mighty one save Yahweh? There were many gods apart from him, but David is not saying who is a god save Yahweh, but who is a mighty one save Yahweh. So now we're going to treat with this word. We're going to trace through the Bible wherever this word occurs. And as in past talks, I'm going to suggest to you that you take a coloured pencil and you mark each of the places where Eloah occurs with a distinctive colour. In my Bible, I've marked it with blue pencil. And therefore, if you care to get a blue pencil and travel through the Bible with me as I go from place to place and consider this word Eloah and mark it in with this blue pencil, then you will have at your fingertips all the places where this word occurs. So I would suggest that what you do is to mark with a distinctive colour each place where this word Eloah occurs. And in your index to the Bible, if you're using our printed notes, then just indicate that wherever the word is coloured in the colour that you have elected to use, that word is Eloah. As I said before, I've marked my Bible with blue pencil, and you might like to do the same. If that is the case, well, then you take up your blue pencil and we will commence. As in previous talks, I will quote a passage of Scripture. We will turn to that passage of Scripture. I would like you to turn with me to those places. And as I am discoursing upon it, I want you to think upon those passages of Scripture. And also I would suggest that as you turn to them, you mark it with your pencil. In the case of Eloah, there are not a large number of places where the word occurs. Only around about 52 times. And the first place is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15. So if we first of all turn there, taking your pencil in your hand to mark the place, we will consider what Moses says concerning God as Eloah. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read that Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and rightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now the word here, God, is the word Eloah. It means mighty one. And what Moses is saying is that Israel forsook their mighty one. It wasn't merely God that they forsook, but they forsook their source of strength and power. He was not merely God whom they should worship. He was that. But he was more than that. He was the mighty one, the one from whence came their power, and they'd forsaken him. The next place is in verse 17 of the same chapter. They sacrificed unto devils, not unto God, not unto the mighty one. They sacrificed unto devils. They turned to idols in which there was no power whatever. And then they wondered why they suffered, because God deserted them. And they did not turn to this mighty one, whose symbol is power and strength, and who had the ability and the means to help them. They forsook him. Now from there we pass right over to the 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 32. There are no occurrences of this word in between these two places. So we turn to the 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 15. And there we read that, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you in this manner, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand. Now these are the words of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. He is standing outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he is endeavouring to persuade the people to desert Hezekiah and throw in their lot with him. The battle of Assyria against Jerusalem has entered into the ranks of a holy war. It is the case of the gods of Assyria versus Yahweh, the God of Israel. And here Sennacherib says, no god of any nation, no mighty one of any nation or kingdom is able to deliver his power out of mine hand. It's not merely that the gods haven't been able to do it. No one with any power whatever, no god with any power has been able to deliver his people out of the hands of Sennacherib. And therefore the God whom he worshipped was a much more powerful and mighty deity than the gods worshipped by the nations. And now he brings this matter up before Israel because of their confidence and trust in Yahweh. From there we pass on to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. And Nehemiah speaks of God as Eloah in this one place in his book. In verse 17 of the 9th chapter of Nehemiah, they refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Thou art a mighty one, who is also a merciful one. That is what Moses recorded. He was a God, a mighty one. He had the power to punish, or he had the power to forgive. He had the power to inflict evil, or he had the power to pardon the people their transgressions. He was a mighty one, and they deserted that mighty one for gods in whom there was no power. You will agree that we're rapidly passing through the Bible in our consideration of this particular name of God. But when we come to Job, we find that it is used much more frequently. As a matter of fact, in the book of Job, the title Eloah, because it is really a title and not a name, the title Eloah occurs more frequently than any other book of the Bible. As a matter of fact, I think that it would occur more in Job than the rest of the Bible put together. And that is rather appropriate to the theme of Job when you come to consider it, because Job is dealing with a mighty manifestation of divine power. Job himself had experienced that in the problems that had come upon him, in the distresses that he experienced. He had felt the hand of the Mighty One sore upon him. And later on, there was given unto Job a revelation of this mighty power. And he was able to see in the concluding, as recorded in the concluding chapters of his book, how mighty is that God whom he worshipped. And he was brought in wonder to humiliate himself before the Creator, whose mighty power is seen on every hand. And so the discourse of his friends and of Job himself had much to do with deity as Eloah, or the Mighty One. Now it occurs first of all in chapter 3 of Job and in verse 4. Here Job is cursing the day of his birth. Let that day be darkness, let not the Mighty One regard it from above. So he speaks of the Creator as the Mighty One, because he knows that with him there is power. In verse 23 we have another occurrence of the title. Whom the Mighty One hath hedged in. And so he speaks of God as a Mighty One whose power is greater than human power, and therefore is able to hedge man in because of his mighty power. Now in the next chapter, Eliphaz answers Job, and he too deals with the same title. He too sees the Creator, or God, as a Mighty One. And in verse 17 he says, shall mortal man be more just than the Mighty One? Shall he be more just than God? And the term here signifies Mighty One. Eliphaz is saying, should mortal man, weak mortal man, stand up against this Mighty One of the heavens? Of course he should not. But Eliphaz was not right to press that against Job, because Job was not trying to justify himself at the expense of God. We come to the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, blessed is the man whom God correcteth. Here again, the word is Eloah, the Mighty One. And because he is mighty, he can correct the sons of men. In chapter 6, we have the word in verse 4, verse 8, and verse 9. In verse 4, the terrors of the Mighty One do set themselves in array against me. And as you read that phrase, you can sense the idea of power inherent in the term Mighty One, the one who has the power to set in array certain evils against Job. Verse 8, oh that I might have my request, and that the Mighty One would grant me the thing that I long for. He is the Mighty One because it is in his power to grant that which Job requires. In verse 9 he says, even that it would please the Mighty One to destroy me. And he recognizes that the power and might of this one is such that in his hands there are the issues of life and death. So he recognizes God in using this title as one in whose hands is every living being who has the issues of life and of death. We come to chapter 9 and verse 13. And there we have the words of Job. If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. The Mighty One. Now as we said when we were treating with the word ale, whenever the word Aeol passed before the mind of the Hebrew, there was conjured up in his mind the idea of might or power in bold relief. So it is with a mighty one. There is this difference between the two words, that whereas Aeol can signify power, the word Eloah is more personal. It is the powerful one. But whether Aeol or Eloah was used, the idea of power in bold relief stood out in the mind of the Hebrew. Not ordinary power, not fleshly power, but divine power. Power such as man could not cope with. So Job said, if the mighty one will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. We come to chapter 10 of verse 2. I will say unto God, do not contend me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. And here again the term is the mighty one. The word is Eloah. So mark it with your blue pencil and pass on to chapter 11 and verse 5. But oh that God would speak and open his lips against thee, the mighty one. These are the words of Zophar, and he would that the mighty one in the heavens should reveal his power unto Job, because he believes that Job's a sinner. Nothing Job could say to the contrary could convince Zophar that he was not a sinner. In verse 6, Zophar tells Job, know therefore that the mighty one exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. He has the power to exact more if he desired it. In verse 7, he asks Job, canst thou by searching find out the mighty one? Of course not. Not only is his might greater than human power, but he is even beyond the scope of the human mind to grasp. When you look into the heavens and consider all the marvelous works of creation, these tremendous orbs of the heavens that manifest such mighty power, and when we consider that God is above all these, that he is the creator of all this, how great is his power? And so Zophar could well say, canst thou by searching find out this mighty one? You can't. You've got to depend upon his revelation in the word. We go to chapter 12 of Job and verse 4. I'm as one mocked of his neighbour who calleth upon God and he answereth him. So here we have the term again, Eloah. He calleth upon the lower, the mighty one, and he answereth him. Again in verse 6. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke Aeol are secure. It is whose hand the mighty one, Eloah, bringeth abundance. Now they provoke the Isle of the heavens, and the mighty one moves against them. They provoke the great power of the heavens. They think that they are secure, but the mighty one moves against them. And therefore, we have in this verse the two words, the two related words, Aeol and Eloah. You have in the book of Job the use of the word Aeol very frequently, as well as the use of the word Eloah. You would have noticed that, doubtless, when we went through the Bible considering the occurrences where the word Aeol is used. Now we pass on to chapter 15 of Job. And at verse 8, hast thou heard the secret of Eloah? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? These are the words of Eliphaz. He wants Job to know, can he understand all the attributes of the mighty one? Of course Job didn't understand all these attributes, nor for that matter did Eliphaz, nor for that matter does any mortal man. And here again in this chapter that you have the word Aeol as well as the word Eloah. You have the word Aeol in verse 4, verse 11, verse 13 and verse 25. And here in verse 8 you have the word Eloah. So that if you have already marked up your Bible where the word Aeol occurs, you will instantly see where the word Aeol occurs and its contrast with the word Eloah in verse 8. In chapter 16 of Job, verse 20, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of the mighty one hath touched me. This is the pathetic lament of Job to his friends who were so indifferent to his sufferings. And he points out that the hand of the Mighty One hath touched him. And what could he do against such manifestations of power? Again in verse 26, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see the Mighty One. Here we'll see Yahweh manifested in his Son, who is referred to also in other places as the Mighty One, and who is a Mighty One because his power stems from Yahweh. As he told the disciples when he was about to leave this earth, all power is delivered unto me both in heaven and in earth. The last verses in Matthew's Gospel. All power is given unto me. And because all power is delivered into his hand, then he can claim the title the Mighty One, because he manifests the power of Yahweh. And so Job was able to say, in my flesh shall I see the Mighty One. And so he will in due course. We pass on now to chapter 21 and verse 9. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rock of God upon them. Neither is the rod of God, rather, upon them. Here again, the word is Eloah, and it signifies Mighty One. The rod of the Mighty One is upon them. Now in verse 19 of the same chapter. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth them, and he shall know it. The Mighty One does this, and as the Mighty One, he has the power to do it. Again in chapter 22 and at verse 12. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. Is not the Mighty One in the height of heaven? And so as Eliphaz looked up into the vast arc of heaven and saw all the stars twinkling from out of the sky and recognized something of the illimitable distances that we are faced with when we look up into the darkness of the heavens. He knew that God, the Mighty One, is in the height of heaven. And he knew that he was the center of all power, and therefore he could describe him as the Mighty One. Verse 26 of the same chapter, we have the title again used. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto the Mighty One. And Eliphaz is pleading with Job to do this. Job, of course, was doing it, but Eliphaz did not believe Job. So in chapter 24 and at verse 12, men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. So Job is replying to Eliphaz. Eliphaz was saying that Job was a sinner, because only sinners would suffer as he did. But here Job replies that men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out, yet the Mighty One layeth not folly to them. And Job is pointing out that good men suffer as well as evil. And he points out that the Mighty One has nothing to do with much of this suffering that occurs. We pass on to chapter 27, and here we have three occurrences of the word in verse 3, verse 8, and verse 10. The spirit of the Mighty One is in my nostrils, says Job. When the Mighty One taketh away my soul, he says in verse 8. Will he always call upon the Mighty One, he says in verse 10. So that in verse 3, verse 8, verse 10, you have the term Eloah. In verse 9, verse 11, and verse 13, you have the term Ael, used in relation to God. We pass on to chapter 29 and verse 2. Oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the day when the Mighty One preserved me. So Job could see the hand of God in his affairs. He spake of the Mighty One preserving him. In verse 4 he says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of the Mighty One was upon my tabernacle, when he seemed to live in the care of Almighty God. And so the secret of the Mighty One was upon his tabernacle in that sense. We pass on to chapter 31 and verse 2. For what portion of the Mighty One is there from above? Here again, the word is Eloah, or Mighty One. And in verse 6, again we have the same title. Let me be weighed in even balance, that the Mighty One may know mine integrity. And so Job was speaking concerning Almighty God. Chapter 33 is the next place where the word occurs, and we have it in verse 12 of that chapter. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that the Mighty One is greater than man. This is the statement of Elihu, who now enters into the debate with Job. And he claims that the Mighty One is greater than man. And who's going to dispute that? Certainly not Job. Verse 26 of the same chapter. He shall pray unto the Mighty One, and he will be favourable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. And so Elihu was pleading with Job to turn to God and to pray unto him. To pray unto the Mighty One, as we have it here. Chapter 35 and verse 10. Elihu says, none saith, where is the Mighty One, my Maker, who giveth songs in the night? No one sees his Maker as a Mighty One, but such indeed he is. In chapter 36 and verse 2, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on the Mighty One's behalf, said Elihu. There's no need for him to do that, I don't believe, because the Mighty One proceeded to speak on his own behalf a few chapters on. But here Elihu says that he must speak on the Mighty One's behalf. Chapter 37 and verse 15, where he is speaking of the mighty manifestation of power in the acts of creation, he said to Job, dost thou know when the Mighty One disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? So he is directing Job to God as the Mighty One who controls all creation. 37:15, that is. So we go on to 37 verse 22. Fair weather cometh out of the north, with the Mighty One is terrible majesty. And again he is drawing the attention of Job to the mighty manifestation of power in the acts of creation. And he is describing the God whom they worshipped as the Mighty One, because he manifests himself in might in the forms of creation that he has established. Go on to chapter 39 and verse 17. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Here is the Mighty One referred to again. Now on this occasion it is Yahweh who is speaking. And he is reminding Job that in all the acts of creation, he is indeed the Mighty One of the heavens. Greater than even Job had considered. Greater than the friends of Job had ever thought. He is the Mighty One whose manifestation is seen in the acts of creation as well as in the revelation of his word. And so he speaks in these chapters of some of his mighty power. We go to chapter 40 and verse 2, and we have Yahweh saying again to Job, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth the Mighty One, let him answer it. Well, it's a terrible thing to reprove the Mighty One, because when one is faced with such power as he wields, then any opposition to that power is bound to be in vain. So here we have the conclusion of the usage of the word Eloah as far as the book of Job is concerned. We have two or three usages of the word in the Psalms. First of all, in Psalm 18. We've already referred to this, but we refer to it again in order that we might mark it in. Psalm 18 and verse 31. Who is a God? Who is God save Yahweh? Who is a rock save our God? Here are two words, two occurrences of the word God, but in the Hebrew two different words. The first one Eloah, being in the singular number, and the second one Elohim, being a plural word. So David is saying, who is a mighty one except Yahweh? And to that we can answer certainly, with every truth, that only Yahweh is a mighty one. Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Here the word is a lower, mighty one. And the psalmist is impressing upon us that it is not a wise thing to forget the mighty one because of his great power. Consider this, ye that forget the mighty one, lest I tear you in pieces. So they are forgetting one of such vast power as can reach out and destroy them. Psalm 114 and verse 7. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the mighty one of Jacob. The presence of the God of Jacob, the mighty one of Jacob. This is a most significant title because it takes us back to the life of Jacob and to the angel that was manifested throughout his life. See, if you turn back to Genesis, you see Jacob speaking of the angel that had looked after him so well during his sojourn. In Genesis chapter 48 and verse 16, when he was blessing the sons of Joseph,